DW Africa Link.
In this episode, we are talking money, trade, and power. We are diving into BRICS, a powerful bloc of emerging economies that comprise of Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. BRICS is not just a trade alliance. It is reshaping the global order, challenging the dominance of the West. With Africa's growing influence, primarily through South Africa's role in BRICS, could this be a turning point for the continent in global politics and trade? Let's explore how BRICS might redefine Africa's future in an increasingly multipolar world. Stay tuned. My name is Josie Mahachi. Welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
The BRICS bloc, promoting solidarity and cooperation among countries of the Global South, aims to enhance the representation of developing nations in global governance. South Africa, Egypt, and Ethiopia are the only African countries within the BRICS bloc, though other African nations have expressed interest in joining. Russian President Vladimir Putin suggests that it will serve as a catalyst for economic growth, a beacon of hope for the continent. While BRICS could offer African nations greater leverage in trade and investment, the bloc's ability to significantly alter Africa's global standing depends on several factors. These include how well the BRICS countries can integrate Africa's economic priorities, manage internal divisions, and create meaningful reforms within international institutions. Now, could their alliance with BRICS shift this dynamic? Joining me to delve deeper into this topic is Dr. Ndimacho Michael, a political analyst and writer at the University of Douala in Cameroon, and DW's correspondent in South Africa, Tuso Kumalo. We will start with you, Michael. Can you just give our listeners a brief overview on how important BRICS is, especially for Africa?
Well, I think BRICS is bringing in a new dynamics that Africans have not seen for some time. Remember that Africans were dealing with what I would call an old system. When I mean an old system, I mean the system that they have known through slavery, slave trade, colonialism, imperialism, and all of those. Russia especially was not an active partner in the period of colonialism and in slavery and all of those. But then, having been disappointed by the global system, of course, we're talking here principally about France and Europe, in general, and America, China, of course. I know China is part of the BRICS, but, with the global system, Africa has really been disappointed. And there is an African proverb which says that a drowning man will hang on a snake. Even though China may not be coming with that kind of an Eldorado that Africans they want, but Africans, they think that it will help crash with the existing global system. And Russia is coming with a lot of proposals for Africans. And I think that it has worked for some countries, like Egypt with the energy and gas plants, and Nigeria, Algeria, and some of these countries. We have seen examples of how China wants to work. And China is learning Africa with the fact that they are not coming with that colonialist tendency. They are coming to play business. And they are proposing them the economy, which Africa needs very much. You know that Africa is like they are living in bondage. Africa is living in perpetual...
Michael, but with China, I understand they're not coming with this colonial mentality, but do you really trust also the way they are doing their business in Africa?
Yeah, but you know that China is not coming with that kind of colonial intelligences, but with the way China is coming, he's luring Africans with a lot of loons. And you know, some of these things are going to catch Africans in the long run. Let us be very clear about that. Even though China seems to be that mademoiselle that Africa has been looking for, but you know that at the long run, a lot of things, Africa is going to be wet by some of these things, because you know, Africa has suffered for so much a time, and we've seen somebody who comes with a lot of lofty proposals, like China is doing, bringing in a lot of money from the Exim banks and all of those, and proposing to Africans and telling Africans that we are only coming in a level playing ground. We want to do business with you. But, you know, China with an overflowing population too. Africa is already suffocating. I'm in Cameroon, and we know exactly what is happening in Cameroon with the Chinese. You know that the Chinese are coming into Cameroon, especially in Cameroon in particular. Chinese do not pay. They are waiving a lot of import fee here in Cameroon. And China pays lesser than Cameroonians they do. And I think that is the same picture in the whole of Africa, whereby through some of those, pacts that they have signed, some of those bilateral agreements they have had, China is able to ship their things to Africa almost import free. And you see that they sell even cheaper than Africans. And what is the cause of this? The cause of this is that this kills the local production. This kills export. And then Africa is now remaining just at the level of consumption. Who is causing this? It is China that is causing this. Even though they are not coming as colonialists per se, but they are coming with a kind of a business that Africans are suffering from it, because this has gone a long way to kill young entrepreneurs. This has gone a long way to kill industrialization in Africa. You realize that even basic commodities, Africans are importing. Toothpicks, you know what toothpicks are? I mean, these are things that Africans are supposed to fabricate, but Africans are bringing them from China. This is because China sells cheaper than what Africans can produce. I've had a lot of young people, because I work with young people, who cry foul, and they say, what can we do when you're at the port? We import things and they tax us high import duties. But Chinese, they come with them duty free, and they are bound to sell cheaper than us, and therefore send us out of the market. So these are some of the things. And I think, well, we were talking about Russia. Russia is also coming like that savior that is coming to salvage Africans from the long-standing suffering, bondage of debt and all of that. But we should also be very careful, because Africans, they need to open their eyes and their hearts wide open to know that these things are going to take them at the long run. Because at one moment, you realize that Russia must have given you more than you actually can pay back. Because we are talking about globalization, Josie. What is Africa able to bring to the world market? If I may ask this question, it is a rhetorical question anyway. What can Africa bring to the world market? I don't think that Africa is competitive in any way. Africa remains like a reservoir. It remains at a level of consumption. Even Rochella is coming. It's coming to give. Yes. Yes.
Africa has a lot to give, but probably the way it is being done is just the issue. I feel like Africans have continued to agree or to accept to be suppressed. Africa has a lot. We have resources. We have talk of agriculture. There is a lot that Africa can bring.
We are not refusing the fact. You know, sorry, Africa, Michael,
let's also just also chip in quickly before you continue, yeah?
Okay.
Yeah, I think you've got a point there. Africa, I mean, the reason why we have seen a lot of countries from Europe, from the West, coming to Africa is exactly because of that. Africa has resources that they want. It has minerals. It has the natural environment, your fauna and flora. It is endowed with all those resources that the West want. But the problem is, as you have rightly said, our leaders, those that are in power, those that have got the business or financial muscle, when they go out there with these resources, they splander them not for the people of Africa, but for their own benefits. Look at what happened with Zimbabwe, with that gold mafia revelations that were made, a lot of corruption involving minerals that could be empowering the people and empowering the country. So the main problem is not even with China or with the West, is with our leaders. As soon as they realize that the resources that are there are for the people and they use them for the people, I think Africa will be better off.
Yep, so absolutely. I don't know, Michael, you heard what my colleague Tuso said. Sometimes you go to the market, obviously you have to be smart. If you are not smart, you will not sell anything. Do you get it? And if you are so greedy as well, there are more greedy people out there. So just to go back to our topic now, with Egypt and Ethiopia also joining in 2024, how might this change BRICS influence on the African geopolitics, Michael?
Yeah, I think that from what Egypt and Ethiopia and the others, of course, who are coming in, are going to show proof of. But before I come to that, Joseph, let me just let you know that I didn't say Africa has nothing to offer. Africa has everything to offer, but it is like you sitting on gold and you do not know the use of the gold. Does that gold do anything to you? This is exactly what I'm talking about. Yes, it is like Africa has all that it takes, but they do not know the use of what they have. It's tantamount to the fact that they do not have anything. And sometimes we now talk about despots in Africa, people, authoritarian government, and all of those. But we should not also forget the fact that Europe is still holding Africa from developing through old colonial pacts. Sometimes some of these African leaders are helpless, you know, with a huge debt and all of those. Okay, now let me come now to your question with Ethiopia and Egypt coming into the BRICS. I think that it is an important aspect that somebody should be able to show proof of what has been happening. That, you know, the BRICS, including coming into Africa now, is like they want to be able to show to the global system that even the blocks of China, Russia, South Africa, and many other African countries are coming now, they can do business on a level playing ground. And they are using now, Egypt and Ethiopia are like an example. We have never had a European Union, of course, that is proposing a kind of an inclusion of an African country into their partnership. So with the BRICS coming into Africa, it is already a first example to show that China, Russia, and its partners, they have good faith. And that they really want to play business by including. It is not like Africans being the spectators of the European Union, being the spectators of other blocs in Europe, but it is now showing by example that we are coming to play business with you on a level playing ground. We are talking about countering terrorism, which of course China is coming and proposing things and saying that, look, come, let us work together. It is not me standing on at the level of authority and commanding somebody at the level of solidarity. No, there is no authority and there is no solidarity here. And that we are on a win-win kind of a game, a win-win kind of partnership that we want to work. Just that we talk about Egypt with a nuclear power, we talk of South Africa with energy partnership, Nigeria too with energy cooperation, Angola has gas investment and all of those. I think the success of these partnership with the Ethiopia and Egypt particularly is going to show proof to other African countries to see that they have a lot of potentials that, I mean, a lot of minerals that can be exploited. And they think that these minerals have been underexploited, or they have been overexploited by the global system. And therefore, this is going to be an eye-opener and an example to set for other people to follow, other African countries to follow, to show that these people have succeeded. I think that we too could succeed. I think that is actually what my take on that, Josie.
Okay. Now, just as you spoke about South Africa too, so you are in South Africa. How has BRICS influenced Africa's geopolitical and economic standing since South Africa became a member? And could other African nations potentially benefit from joining, in your opinion?
You'd remember that when there was a BRICS summit here in South Africa, Ramaphosa went out of his way, persuaded other BRICS leaders to invite all African countries. All of them were invited. So South Africa wants the African countries to have a say and a platform BRICS, which is not happening with the EU, which is not happening with other financial blocs. So from that geopolitical perspective, Africa now seems to have a voice in the image of South Africa and other countries that have joined, and others are lining up also to join. So the intention there, with the promises that they've been given by BRICS, as our guest there alluded, they've been promised to be equals here, you'll get same opportunities. Whether that will happen is another question, because we've not seen much happening on the ground, but those promises are there. That's what we heard in the summit that was in South Africa, that all African countries were praising to say, we now have a platform where we are respected, where we're going to access money. You know, you remember there's the BRICS Bank that is promising to lend the monies at lower interest. So those are some of the things that Africans are being lured with coming to into BRICS, with South Africa, of course, at the seat. The other element that has happened is that those that are in business have also applauded BRICS, because remember, BRICS has a BRICS Business Council, and that council has drawn all business people from across Africa, giving them networking sessions, giving them opportunities to trade within the BRICS itself, something that they would not ordinarily have in the previous atmosphere, trading atmosphere. So there are those things that are coming in. But the question is, I spoke to one analyst at the University of Witwatersrand here. He was saying, the problem is, even if you try to analyze, have any of the things that were flouted or announced in the previous BRICS summit achieved now that we've got another summit in Russia? Most of those things have not been achieved. Of course, 1 year is not a big period to try and get that. But the promises are there, and the promises are attracting African countries. But whether they will be fulfilled, that's another chapter which Africans should be looking at, as they all seem to be rallying towards joining the BRICS.
Now, Michael Tuso touched on something quite interesting, that especially on the BRICS Bank, where Africans are being lured by lower interest rates and things like that. And we have this history of African nations, I mean, borrowing. There's so much debt out there, especially when it comes to Africans borrowing from IMF and all. Now, do you think BRICS can help reshape global governance institutions like the UN, IMF, in ways that better serve African interests? Or is this more of just an aspirational goal?
This is one of the problems that we've had, with Africa, where the corruption has pushed the leaders to go on borrowing. And you remember during the COVID, what happened is that a lot of money was borrowed. And, you know, the IMF, the British Institute, they pushed African nations to borrow, you know. And the money, huge sums of money that has been borrowed, has not been able to use for the intended purposes. You know, the IMF has even gone further to cause these African countries to privatize their national companies, leaving the people wanting, leaving the people at the mercy of life. So I think that joining the BRICS now is about doing business bilaterally. And one of the things that the BRICS will seek to do is to strengthen the internal industrialization of Africans. I think that it is important. Why do Africans borrow? Africans borrow in order to feed the industries that are never there. This is one of the things. And I think that these Africans are able to construct their own industry, build their own industry, you know. The primary basic goods they are able to produce, then this borrowing is going to actually be reduced. How do Africans borrow to buy food? Africa is a farming land. It's a vast arid land. And how do Africans borrow, for agriculture? I think that the BRICS is coming in now to be able to tell Africans, what do you need? If you need industrial tools, yes,
but
if you need to
climate change, Michael, it could be issues of climate change and stuff that right now, I mean, it's affecting everyone. Probably that could be the reason.
I think that, Josie, what you are bringing me to another aspect, that we cannot also be going to the BRICS. Africa cannot go to the BRICS if they are not able to cooperate and collaborate themselves as Africans. This is, as African nations, they should first and foremost be able to collaborate and do business. I think that Africa is not supposed to run short of food. If Africa was living in a kind of a collaboration, I mean, the drought is not only in Africa. We have drought, we have climate change everywhere. And I think that if Africans were collaborating, then Africa wouldn't laugh. You remember that there is this famous way of life, this communal way of life that generally in Africa we have. Africa is not is supposed to feed itself. If in one part of Africa we have, I mean, climate change, drought, and all of those, if Africans were collaborating, I think that they'll be able to feed other parts of Africa. They'll be able to buy from other parts of Africa at very cheap rate. But look at now what is happening. COVID, with the coming of COVID and the Ukraine war, Africans actually are running short of wheat and are running to Russia for wheat. Is this supposed to be? I don't think that this is supposed to be. Africa is supposed to feed itself. And you realize that doing business with intra-business in Africa, it's a very, very difficult thing that people think that buying in Europe or America is cheaper than buying in Africa. This is not supposed to be. We have regional blocks. And within those blocks, we even have countries within those blocks that are actually suffocating. But meanwhile, those blocks are there to be able, you know, to be reciprocal, you know, to be able to feed each other.
Absolutely. Now, Tuso, just to come back to South Africa, you mentioned, of course, we all know the summit was there the last time. So what is the perception of BRICS now within South Africa? And how do South African business people view the bloc's potential to spur economic growth?
It's a mixed bag also there. There are some that say it's a vehicle for development, something that they are not used to, something that's new, something that includes them more. These people say the full membership of South Africa eliminates any kind of exploitation that our guests alluded to, which most African countries feel they've been shortchanged by financial bodies like the IMF and the World Bank. So they feel more of that sense of belonging when you talk to a number of South Africans. Some of them, they are saying the African countries, also the fact that all of them were invited to come and be part of this bloc, either as observers, and some of them admitted, it shows that BRICS wants them to be more closer than the other situations. But however, others feel it's only China and Russia to benefit. Remember, these two countries have got the consumption capacity to consume resources from South Africa. For there are some who are saying they are just positioning themselves so that they can get as much as possible from Africa. Others coming in and saying countries like Russia that are isolated by the world, they feel a sense of belonging. They want to use that bloc to say to the West, you may isolate us, but we've got friends here. I mean, if you look at how our President Cyril Ramaphosa greeted President Putin arriving there for that summit, a lot of backlash coming out. Some people saying, but no, Putin, you should not be doing that. This is the time to spell a spade as a spade to him and tell him to stop what he's doing in Ukraine. So it's a mixed bag, but overall, there's that sense of saying, but this is something that's new that could involve Africa more than we've seen with other financial institutions from the West in the past.
Now, Michael, as we wrap up in a minute or so, do you foresee more African countries joining BRICS in the near future? And if so, what are the key factors that will determine their successful integration into the bloc?
Yeah, I actually see, yes, a lot of African countries joining. You know, Africa wants, as I said earlier, a new world power that would crash with existing global power. You understand that Africa is poorer in 2024 than it was even in the 1970s. And it is sending people thinking. People are thinking, what is happening? That Africa has been engulfed in a lot of debt. Africa has got a lot of poverty. Africa is not progressing. There's no development. Nothing is moving. And that is why you have realized that in the past few years, there has been a lot of rebellions in some African countries. We are talking about countries like Mali, Burkina Faso, Niger, and all of, and many more African countries are rising up to rebel against what they think the iron fist of the imperialists. So there are a lot of different reasons why African nations would like to join the BRICS. And Josie, I will assure you that in the next coming months, years, we'll see a lot of African nations joining the BRICS for different kind of reasons that I've just cited here. Thank you so much.
Dr. Ndimacho Michael, a political analyst and writer at the University of Douala and DW's correspondent in South Africa, Tuso Kumalo. Many thanks, gentlemen. That's it for this edition of Africa Link. Remember, you are not just a listener, but also a crucial part of our community. Your feedback and participation makes this podcast what it is. We highly value your insights and encourage you to share your thoughts with us. Remember to follow so you can catch all of the Africa Link podcast episodes. This podcast was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabi. My name is Josie Mahachi. Thanks for listening. Until next time, it's bye for now.
DW, made for minds.